Okay, we begin Be'ezer Hashem, Tesamet Aleph, five lines up from the bottom. Starting with the words, Amar Rabbi Yechon ben Torta. Amar Rabbi Yechon ben Torta, Rabbi Yechon ben Torta said, Ben Meima Chorva Shiloi. Why was Shiloi, which was a place which the Mishkan stood for a total of 369 years? I mean, that compares almost like the first Beis HaMikdash, which was 410, the second Beis HaMikdash was 420, third in place, and after that, you don't get close to that. The next one was not even given, which was 52 years. But yet the Mishkan stayed, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, for 369 years. It remained in Shiloi. And at that one point, it was destroyed. We don't have a lot of details about the destruction of Shiloi and the Mishkan moving out of there. But here you see from the Gemara that it would not have been destroyed. And it should have been sort of a smooth transition from Shiloi until when the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt. But yet there was a destruction and its own exile of the Mishkan and all of the vessels. And why did that happen? And Rabbi Yechon ben Torta is going to tell us. It's interesting, this the Taisus Yeshanim here on the side tells us this is a very strange name. The word Torta or Tura in a different form means cow. So it's interesting, this person's name was Rabbi Yechon ben Torta, the Rabbi Yechon, the son of the cow. And we find in the Chazal, as the Taisus Yeshanim points out, if you look up the Psikta that he's quoting, what happened was actually this was a Gentile. And he bought a cow from a Jew. And he came to use this cow on Shabbos to do work for him, and the cow wouldn't do any work. And he said, what's going on over here? Lazy cow, I bought it for work, and it's not. So he called up the Jew, and sounds like it was a Jew within the walking distance to the non-Jew's house. And the Jew came over and said, I could fix the problem. No problem. He comes over and he whispers into the cow's ear and he says, listen, you're not owned by a Jew anymore. Yes, it says your slaves and your animals are not allowed to do work on Shabbos either. But now you're owned by a non-Jew, you're allowed to do work. And at that point, the cow began to do work. And this non-Jew was so amazed at this sight that says if you even have an animal who listens to its creator and does exactly what it's supposed to, certainly, if I could have accept even more mitzvahs by myself and listen to my Creator in a greater way, I want to be able to do that. And he was Megayer, he converted and became a Jew. He picked the name Yochanan, we don't know why, but he was called Reb Yochanan, the son of Torta. It means that the cow was the one that caused him to be Megayer. But look at that, he became, not only was he Megayer, he became an Amir in the Gemara. He came and gave statements. He gave statements. We don't know what age he converted, but he became a man d'amir here to give insight into Psukim, into why Shila was destroyed. Says the Gemara, Mimnesha Hayubah Shnei Dvarim, because it was found. And we'll see, it was found, obviously this was an Avera, sin that permeated Klal Yisrael at the time, two things. Shnei Dvarim, Gilei Arayis, first of all there was obviously rampant adultery, Ubizayin Kachim, an interesting combination. There was a disgrace of the sacrificial foods. And Gemara is going to bring proof for each one. Gilei Arayis, how do we know there was the sin of adultery? Dechsev, as it says in the Pasuk. This Pasuk is brought in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. The beginning of Sefer Shmuel starts with who was the Shefet at the time, who was the judge, the leader, the Navi, the Kayin Gadol at the time. It was Eli. Eli HaKayin. And it says that Eli Zokain, Eli was already old, and therefore he was no longer sort of the practicing Kohen Gadol anymore, but rather his two sons, Chofni and Pinchas. They were Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, so they were in charge. The Eli Zokain Moed, Eli was very old. Vishama, and he heard, word got to him, he heard what his sons did to the Jews. A terrible rumor. He heard about that his sons committed and violated women, committed the sin of adultery and violated women in the Eil Moed. And that's very difficult to take literally. First of all, these were the sons of Eli. They were righteous people. That they should do such a terrible act in the Ohel Moed itself. No.
These were married women too?
And married women, that's for sure. As we'll see. Huh?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So it obviously can't be that they take this Gemara literally. And that's what the Gemara here is going to say. Actually, if you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, where this Gemara is recorded as well, there we bring an opinion that actually one of them did sin. We find that Pinchas indeed was righteous, and the reason is the Gemara says because we list him in the in one of his descendants are listed in doing something righteous, and we list it all the way back to Pinchas, the son of Eli. Okay, not Pinchas ben Elazar from last week's parasha, 2 weeks of parasha. But Pinchas is listed as the patriarch of this long list of family. So Gemara said we wouldn't list him if he was not a righteous person. So therefore Pinchas obviously was righteous. So one opinion holds, like we're going to say here, that if Pinchas was righteous and we are putting them together, Chafni also was righteous. There's a second opinion to know. Pinchas indeed was righteous, but Chafni, his brother, was not. And the Gemara says, yeah, but look, it says all of this wording here, it sounds like it was in the plural. And the Gemara goes each word by word, and says, no, actually, if you look, you can read each word in the singular or the plural. So why would the Pasuk do that? You could read both in the singular and the plural to tell us, and indeed, Chafni, again, in this opinion, Chafni was guilty, and therefore, that's clear by the fact you can read it in the singular, but Pinchas is guilty of not having stopped Chafni, and therefore it's read in the plural as well. So who committed the act? That's Chafni. But who is responsible as well? Pinchas as well. That's one opinion. A second opinion is, like our Gemara says here, that they did not do such terrible crimes at all, none of them. Says the Gemara, Bava gav dam rab shmuel bar nachmeni am rab yechanan, kaloi mer b'nei Eli chatu. Whoever says that the sons of Eli sinned, eino yelatoye, is making a mistake. They did not sin. They were righteous people. One second, but the Gemara, the Pasuk is not lying. The Pasuk says that they lay with women. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, but rather miteich. We now go to Testament Beis. Miteich sheshohu eskineyan. Because they delayed the karbonis, namely the bird karbonis, that women who after childbirth would come and bring these bird karbonis, because they delayed, and Rashi says the fault, they were at fault for being arrogant, and they sort of wanted to take their high old time and do things at their own pace and not hurry things up. Therefore, they delayed these women from being able to go back to their husbands, to live with their husbands, because they were waiting for their coven to go and to make sure it's done, safe. And because of that, they were guilty of causing a bittul in period of a review. They held it at very high scrutiny. They have the ability to sort of let the women back home, let them back quicker, and because they didn't, they had to consider guilty in a way of even committing adultery. What is really the pasuk means? It means that they detained the women, that they're not able to go back to their husbands and perform the mitzvah of Piri Yavirivya that the husbands has. So the Gemara says, since Yeshua Askinemi, a malalein akosiv ki lushochvam, the Torah sort of makes it sound like as if they committed adultery. Now the Ben Yoyada points out, I mean, if that was the whole sin, you're telling me why was the base of the Mishkan and Shiloh destroyed? Because these two leaders, they didn't do sins. These two leaders did something that could be interpreted by the Pasuk as sins. So the Ben Yoyada says, Basa Resha Azal Gufa. In other words, the body follows the head. The head is the leader and the rest of the body follows where the head wants to go. So if this was a guilt on the part of the leaders in this form, so Ben Yoyada says, then we could assume that in the rest of the tzibur, in the rest of the Jewish people, it was actual adultery. So why was the Shilai destroyed? Similar to what will happen, why the Beis Hamidash, the first Beis Hamidash was destroyed, because there was the Avera of adultery. Secondly, Bizayin Kachim says, oh, also the Ben Yehuda points out that whose chelik was Shiloh in? Yosef HaTzadik. And one area particular that Yosef was careful about was the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. He remained for how many years? Many decades he remained in Mitzrayim under tremendous pressure and tempting, and yet never committed a sin. And that's why actually the Zohar says he's called Yosef HaTzadik, the righteous one. So here for them to perpetrate such a sin in Shiloh, in this place where we are held to a higher standard, for that reason it was destroyed. A second Aveira, Rabbi Yechon and Torta had said it, Bezayin Kachim. There was a disgrace of the sacrificial foods that were taken from Kabbalah. The Chassid says, Gam b'terem yaktirin es ha-chelev, even before people would go and they offer up the chelev that they could bring to Hashem on the Mizbeach, ubo nar ha-kohen, and a young kohen would come, b'amar l'isha ha-zaveach, he would tell the person who was coming to shecht the karbon, t'na bas or lissas the kohen, make sure you give me the meat first. V'lo yikach mimcha basar mavushul ki imchai, I don't want you to first process the meat and cook it, and then give me my portion. In other words, I want my portion first, even before you give Hashem His portion. Vayemer elav oish, and then the person would say, one second, karta yaktiru kayem achelev, v'kachlo kasher tava nafshecha. One second, first we'll slaughter it, and we'll bring it and burn on the mizbeach, and then take as your heart desires. V'omar, and the person would say, the kohen would say, loy, no. Even though it says here, loy, the pasuk it says loy with an aleph. Loy, ki atatite, now you'll give us. V'imloy, and if you don't, lokachti b'chuzka, we'll take it by force. V'atichatas an'orim g'doy l'ma'oides p'nei Hashem. And here the sins of these young kohanim was great in the eyes of Hashem. Ki niyatsu ha'anashim es minchas Hashem. In other words, that they sort of put their own needs and their own gifts from the carbon before that of Hashem, that of Hashem's gifts, and therefore that was another sin why Shiloh was destroyed. We now go continue the Gemara by the two dots, by the Y lines. Migdash Rishon Memnei Maicharav. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Memnei Gimel Dvarim Shehayubai. Because of three sins that stood out in the general population of the Jewish people, and that was namely what we know as the three cardinal sins: avodah zarah, idolatry, vegila rais, adultery, shechdamim, and murder. And the Gemara is going to cite psukim for each one. Avodah zarah d'chsiv, as it says in the pasuk, a pasuk in Yeshaya, ki kotzar hamatza mehistareya. Literally, that means that the mattress, the bed, was too short mehistareya from getting one's feet and one's whole body on the mattress. It seems to be a sentiment here that Hashem is expressing through the Navi that the bed is not big enough for me to sleep on. And the end of that pasuk, as we'll see in a moment, is v'hamaseicha, and the blanket, tsara kihiskanes. And also the blanket's too short, I can't cover all the parts of my body with this blanket. That seems to be the complaint over here. Says the Gemara, "My kotzer matzah meistareya." What does that mean? That the bed was too short? Amar Reb Yonason, "Kotzer matzah ze meistareya love shnei reim keechud." Now that means basically that the bed is too small from having two people on it. What is this a euphemism for? What Hashem is saying, kaviyachal, is that on the one hand you want to serve me, right? And you say, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, and you come daven, and then you go home, and what? You leave the Beis HaMikdash and bring your karbonis and daven, and then you go home and you serve idolatry, idols. You worship idols, right? So Hashem is saying, it can't be both. There's not enough room on this bed for two, meaning Hashem and L'Avdil, this Avodah Zarah. So there we see that even though they had tremendous respect, tremendous faith, as we'll see, the Gemara will say that they had tremendous bitachon in Hashem, but at the same time they also had bitachon in their Avodah Zarah. Okay, it's hard to imagine such a thing. Like, what do we have? You believe Avodah Zarah and Hashem? So the mashal given is always that the pasuk says, Elohei chesef ve'elohei zov. There are certain gods that are gods of money, gods of kesef and zov. Right? You have people who believe wholeheartedly, fully, we believe in Hashem, and we daven to Hashem, but we also trust very much our money. And that's an avodah zarah for people, right? And that's why people, it leads to thievery, it leads to stealing, it leads to talking ourselves into that this is okay, it's okay to cheat here, overlook here. Why? Because it's an avodah zarah for us. Because we feel we can't exist without it. Of course we're Hashem, of course we keep Shabbos, we keep all the mitzvahs, we daven to Hashem, and we say, Hashem, please help my parnasa. But yet I feel that this somewhat I have control over that. What's that? The lehei chesav eleizav. I just have some control. I feel a little more comfortable the fact that I have my gold protecting me. The fact that my silver is in the bank, I feel that, I feel I can trust in that. That Hashem says, it can't be two. There's not enough room here for both of us. That's the first part of the pasuk. And the second part of the pasuk is interpreted, "V'hamasecha tzarekei iskaneis," and the blanket is too short from fully covering. Amrab Shom Bar Nachmeni, kimati Rabbi Yonasan laikra. When Rabbi Yonasan would come to this pasuk, bachi, he would cry. He says, "It's astounding that Hashem should express Himself in this way." Omar, man dechsiv bei. The one who it said about him, Hashem wrote in His own Torah, "Koneis kanei mehayam." Hashem was able to gather up like a pillar all of the sea of reeds, the yamsav He took, and He made one big pillar out of them, or 12 pillars. But He was able to do such fantastic miracles. Yet nasis le masecha tzara, that this idol should be an infringement on Hashem, and it's almost hard to imagine that Hashem, who is so omnipotent, yet it should bother Him, kaviyachol, that someone is sharing the stage with Him. Now, He means to just express that, but indeed, it is to be understood that way. And as Hashem says, you have to focus only on Me alone. Know that only I give, only I provide, I'm the only power. And all of those things that seem to have power and seem to give people power and influence, it only comes from Me as well. So therefore, don't focus on either idolatry, on gold and silver, only focus on Me. And that became, and Avera, Avodah Zarah became rampant. At that time it was actual Avodah Zarah. They actually had idols, they had statues, they had things that they worshipped in a way that had a real chachma, there was a real science to it. Since the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Samach Dalet, that Rav Shech Nes HaGadol did away with Avodah Zarah, therefore we can't appreciate, we don't even understand what the temptation of Avodah Zarah is. That is that first Avera. The second Avera that the base of Midrashiv was destroyed in the first temple, Araya Istichsiv, as the Pasuk says, again a Pasuk in Yeshaya. Yeshaya, we know, was the Navi who foretold the destruction of the first base of Midrash. He died way before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. The Navi that was present at the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, we were familiar with, he wrote Eicha and other books as well, was Yirmiyo, who prophesied for 40 years. But Yeshayo, who lived beforehand, prophesied, most of his words, as we know, he's called the prophet of Nechama. Most of his prophets we're going to read in the Shiva de Nechemta. The 7 weeks of consolation come, almost all of it, from Yeshayo. Yeshayo, because he was, when Hashem asked for the Navi to do this job, to reprimand the Klal Yisrael, he said right away, yes. Hashem says, because he said yes right away, I'm going to give most of the prophecy of Nechama, of consolation with Klal Yisrael, will go through you. So much of his Nevuah is actually La'as Lava, his things that are yet to come in the future. But here, he also says quite a bit of Nevuah, referring to the time that was going to come, of the sins that were going to be the decline of the Jewish people. Vayomer Hashem, Yeshaya says, Hashem has spoken and said, Yan, on account, ki gavu b'nai Tzion, because the daughters of Tzion of Yerushalayim have become haughty. Vatelachna netuyes goran, and they walk with an outstretched neck. Umesakre senayim. We'll see what that means exactly. They did something to their eyes. Haloich v'tofoif. We'll see what that means, how they walked. Telachna uvragle antiakasna, and with their feet they put in some anger. The more we'll explain. And what does this mean? Yan ki gavu b'nai siyan. On account that the b'nai siyan became haughty, shayu mahalchais arucha b'tzad kitzara. In other words, they walked in such a fashion that they were so exacting with their step in order to attract attention. As if to boast while they walked. You know, some people, they have a very... They like the Gemara says that... his aisle and his nafik shuffle b'shviflus quietly. Some people just slip in, some will slip out. They don't want to be noticed. None of the people, you know, open the door very big, had a presence. If nobody noticed them, they walk in. The other people, they try to attract attention to themselves. And here, these women tried to get attention to themselves while they walked. And this is all part of the moral decline of society that was happening during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, that ultimately led to one of the components of why it led to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. V'atelachnan 2 years garden, says the Gemara. Shayu ma'alchais became a zakufa. They walked with an outstretched neck, and others also in a very arrogant way. Umisakre sinayim. What does that mean? To have a malyun kuchla einayin. That they put on so much makeup that it was to the point where it was attracting undue attention. Halech v'tafayif. That this is halech v'tafayif telachna. Shayu ma'alchais. Akev b'tzad gaidel, and again a way of walking that their heel would only come to the point of their front of the foot, and then the next one, also walking in a fashion that would take notice. People would take notice of them. And finally, v'raglein tiakasnu, with their feet they instilled anger. What does that mean? Om Rabbi Yitzchak shohim aviyos mor va'afar semein. They used to bring different types of good smelling perfumes, umanichos b'manaleihen, and put them in their shoes, uchshamagiyos etzel bachurei Yisrael, and when they would pass by single young boys, boyatos, they would kick their feet together, umatizes aleihen, and from there the smell of the perfume would exude, umachnisim b'mietzahara, and this would put in the strength of the Yetzirah, ke'eres b'kais, like the venom of a snake. And that's what the Gemara says here. So, described by the Navi in great detail, and even greater detail by the Gemara, but basically this is an eye-opener. No pun intended, as the Gemara says. But you see here that this is considered Gilui Arayos. You see here that the Gemara says this is considered one of the sins, one of the three sins that a person is not even allowed to transgress, even to save his life. And this was the Gilui Arayos. What did they do? That you see that the girls and the women of the time did things, whether it was through perfume, or through makeup, or through dress, or through walking, in a way that attracted attention, and some of it they did because they wanted to show their beauty, and some of it they did because they wanted to attract the attention, some of it they did to be provocative. And here you see that even though we find many times in Chazal that Bishvil Nashim Tzidkaniyos, because of the righteous women in Klal Yisrael, we were saved and the Gula came about. But here you see that it's a double-edged sword. Indeed, they have the power to be able to bring redemption, but in this case, they brought exile to the people. And therefore it's incumbent upon the women. You can't only say, well, the men, they should, don't look, and the men should just keep to themselves. And you see here that we blame the women for causing this and being the catalyst for this terrible sin.
Is it implicit that the men also, didn't guard their eyes like they should have? And even though it was provocation, is it implicit that the men were not careful enough?
So it's interesting. I think from it's hard to say, but it seems like from the Navi and the Gemara over here is that they almost consider like an onus, at least for this aspect. We're really amplifying the sin of the women over here. Do you say that obviously the men also were guilty for part of it, but the fact of that this was done. It sounds like the provocation was so great that the women are the only guilty ones. So the Gemara doesn't say here that it caused actually them to be tempted to the point where actually they committed a sin, but just the provocation of it is what the was the transgression.
The Gemara is not the relation between inside the family, like brother, sister, or father. That's Gilui Arayot.
That's one level of it. That's one level of it. Gilui Arayot is, that's right, is any forbidden interaction between male and female, between men and women.
That's a Gilui Arayot.
Yeah.
So it's not because the Torah, especially in the...
Those are certain Arayot. Those are Arayot that you get Kuras for.
In Midrash, when you read of the Gilui Arayot, So that's
but
not something like single woman.
Yeah, that too. Even you know, the famous question about shaking a woman's hand. That's also, that could be considered an issa d'oraisa. Ramesh Feinstein Paskin, it was an issa d'oraisa to shake a woman's hand. It's gilui arayos. Why? Because it's contact between a man and a woman, right? Others held that it was Yehoram Vayavar. One has to die for it. You have no other choice. They jump off the roof. Others held that it's not considered something of Negiya Shalchiba, and therefore would be permissible. But that would be in the context of Gilui Arayos. Let's continue. Shvichas Damim Dechsev. How do we know there was also the Avera of murder in the first Beis Hamikdash? Because it says in the Pasuk, V'gam Dam Noki Shafach Menashe Harbe Moed, the King Menashe, who actually we know was a grandson of Yeshaya, and he reigned for 52 years as a king, and most of that time he was a terrible Rasha and an idolater, and he committed murder, and because he committed murder, so too much of the people committed murder, because it was sort of an accepted thing. Arashamilias Yushalayim Pelepe. It's filled up with murder and with blood. Pelepe. That's what the Aver was. Some say indeed because he killed Yeshaya. He was one who killed his grandfather Yeshaya, who's equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's Pal Peh. That's another pshat. So that is the sins of the first Beis Hamikdash. Avo Mikdash Sheini. But what about the second Beis Hamikdash? Shayu Oizkin B'Teiro V'Mitzvah Zogumilas Chasodim. They were involved in Torah study, they were involved in mitzvahs, and chesed, mimnei machorav. Why was the second Beis Hamikdash destroyed? Mimnei shehoyse boi sinas chinam. Because they had the avera of sinna, hatred towards a fellow Jew. L'lamedcha, this comes to teach you, sheshkula sinas chinam keneged shalosh averes, that sinas chinam could be equaled to the three Averis, Averis Zorah, Gilui Arayos, V'Shvichas Damim. Now the first question that many Rishonim ask, we'll start with Tosfos' question in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Lamed Amud Beis says, Memnei Mar Chorva, actually the Lashon over there is, Loi Chorva Yerushalayim, Ela Al Shadonu Badin Torah. You know why Yerushalayim is destroyed? Because they kept to the Halacha. Says the Gemara, what else are they supposed to do? Should they not keep the halacha? So the Gemara says, Ela shalai, Ela shehamidu dineam al dintayra v'lai avdu lefnim mishuras hadin. They kept to the exact letter of the law and never beyond the letter of the law. Never lefnim mishuras hadin. Never giving an inch. That's the charge. You could say it's midah keneged midah. Hashem says, okay, you want everything to be exact? Right, every din Torah that you have with you, for everything exact, Hashem doesn't have to be exact with you. But if you could forgo, and you could forgive, and you can give a little bit, and you can compromise, Hashem, then I could overlook some things too. So the Gemara says here, why? L'chor v'shalayim ela, for this reason. So it says, Taisvis, what do you mean? The Gemara here in Yuma says that the reason why the second Mishnah was destroyed was sinas chinam. And this is referring to the second Mishnah Midrash, as we'll see. Sinas chinam. Says Taisvis, v'yeshleimar dehova hargarma. They were both contributing factors. Now you don't find Taisvis asks the reason why the first Mishnah was destroyed because of Gilui Arayos, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Ashrichas Damim. One second, we have a Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Testament Beis that gives a list of other reasons why it was destroyed. So says the Pnei Yeshua on that Gemara in Bava Metzia, Taisus didn't ask for the sort of the contradictory reasons in the Gemara and Shabbos. Why? Because those all are given with citing Pesukim. So Tosfos understood, if you're citing a pasuk, that means obviously every pasuk is obviously true, and therefore those are all contributing factors. So it's Avodah Zarah, Gil HaRayis, Shvichas Damim, and as well things enumerated in Masechet Shabbos. But that's because they're all backed by a pasuk. But Tosfos says, here you say Sinas Chinam, you're not bringing a pasuk for that. So it must be you are figuring that on your own. Oh, but then that doesn't go with the Gemara and Bamitzir that says another reason without a pasuk, and that's because they were the Lefnei Mishura Sadin. They didn't judge, they only judge on the Din, not Lefnei Mishura Sadin. So Tosfos' answer is, on that I have a question, and that my answer is, both were contributing factors. Good? And there is a Shaila Sechuvas Pnei Yeshua, which is actually the grandfather of the Pnei Yeshua in Shas, and he says, Tosfos says both are contributing factors. He says, I say they're really one and the same. Why? Why are they one and the same? Our Gemara gives the reason is, why was the second base major destroyed? Sinas Chinam. The Gemara Bamitzia says why? Because they didn't go Lefnei Mishura Sadin. So how do you mesh those two together?
If you want to say Rabbeinu Chaverah, that's the way they treat their fellow man. They're not giving an inch. That's the same thing.
The Sinas Chinam that they had towards one another caused them to not giving an inch. Caused them not to forego anything, not to compromise. So he says, actually, you don't have to say it's a contradiction at all, but actually they both complement each other. A similar idea is expressed by the Shemi Shmuel. We know the Ramban tells us that there are two Teichachos, two parshias of rebuke in the Torah. The first one is... Bechukosai, right? Thank you. And the second is Parshas Kisavai. And the Ramban says the first one is referring to the first base of Middash, the second referring to the second base of Middash, which means that indicates to us that the second base of Middash, if there's a reason stated in the Teichach over there why the base of Middash was destroyed, we could say that's the reason why the second base was destroyed. And we know there's a famous pasuk over there. You know why this all happened to you? You know why all of this tragedy befell you, Klal Yisrael? Tachas Hashaloi Avadat. Because you didn't serve Hashem with gladness, with joy, with simcha. Says the Shemi Shmuel, one second, is it because he didn't serve with simcha, or is it because he had sinas chinam? And he gives the same answer, like we just said before. The two go in tandem. The two can complement one another. Right? How so? He says, because Jews on their own were not serving Hashem b'simcha, because they didn't feel content and b'simcha with their avodas Hashem, that caused them to be jealous, to be angry, and to not get along with their fellow Jew. Because when people are happy, right? You imagine a person who just found out that he won the lottery. I'm not talking about the mega Powerball jackpot of $300 million. No, he won like a small lottery. He won like a $12 million. Yeah? Can you imagine? And then all of a sudden, you know, someone was taking his coat off the shelf and, you know, brushed his coat a little bit and fell on the floor. Can you imagine getting upset at that person? So if a person viewed the opportunity to be able to serve Hashem and do mitzvahs as each one was a $12 million lottery ticket, because he looked at me funny, you know, because actually he won the lottery and I got to do my mitzvah, that should make me have sinas chinam. So that's how the two go together. So that's indeed what the Gemara says, and that's how we understand how the two could work together. There's yet another Gemara which the Mefarshim ask that seemed to be a contradiction. The Gemara tells us, this goes back to the first base of Middash. Our Gemara here in Yuma Daf Tesamid Bay says, why was the first base of Middash destroyed? Three sins. The Gemara in Nedarim says, Daf Ayin Daf Pei Aleph Amar Aleph, it says, why was the first base of Middash destroyed? It says, they asked the Nevi'im, they didn't know. They asked the Chachamim, they didn't know. Till Hashem had to answer himself. Why? Which the Mefarshim explained, the Ran says, they didn't have the proper respect and regard chashivas for Torah. So is it because of that or is it because of this? So again, they answer to put these two together. He sees really how it's a much more, it's not just, well, they did three Aveiros, that's it, it's destroyed. It's a much broader picture. We appreciate it greater. Indeed, they did these three sins, but however, if they would have had Torah imbued in themselves, in their consciousness, that would have prevented them from this terrible decline at such a quick pace. The Torah would have prevented it because Torah protects a person from sin. Says the Gemara over there, the Nevi'im were bothered, I don't understand, but they are learning Torah. So why that did not protect them? And the Chacham said, why that they are learning Torah? Until Hashem Himself had to say, it's true they're learning Torah, but because they're not having the proper respect they need for Torah, therefore the Torah does not have the same potency that it should have, and cannot protect them from these three sins, and that's why there was a terrible spiritual decline of these three sins. So that's how we get a broader picture of how all of these Gemaras really coalesce together to explain the sins. And here we have a very amazing statement. The Gemara says, we see that sinas chinam is as terrible as these three sins. And this very, very famous Meshech Chochmah. The Meshech Chochmah says, how could that be? Meshech Chochmah in Parshas B'Shalach, how could that be? You know what for Gilei Arayis, yeah? You know what the sin for committing adultery for one of the Arayis? You get Kares. You know what the sin for committing murder is? You get killed. Yeah? So, Avodah Zarah, you get Skila. So, and what's the Avera if you talk Lashon Hara?
Don't know.
You get an Avera? What's the Avera if you steal from somebody? You get Malkus maybe? No. Because you have to pay back. So Meshech Chochmah says, how could you say such a statement? How could you say sinas chinam on one side of the scale and Gilei Arayis on the other side? Balances out. How could it be balances out? We know from the punishment that is given for these sins that indeed are not balanced.
Yeah.
So he makes a brilliant differentiation, which gives us a tremendous insight. He says, when you're talking about an individual, then of course Avodah Zarah is way worse than talking Lashon Hara, right? If someone puts you up at gunpoint and said, say Lashon Hara or I'll blow your brains out, right? You say Lashon Hara, right? It says, someone says, bow down to the Avodah Zarah, then you can't do. So of course Avodah Zarah on an individual level, the Avera itself of Avodah Zarah, and what it could do in the creation itself, in the Bria, far worse. Gilei Arayis, terrible. That's why a person gets cut, off from the Jewish people. Far worse than if someone steals or someone hates his friend. However, when you're talking about the Tzibur, when you're talking about the Jewish people as a whole, collectively speaking, then what sinas chinam, what ill feelings and ill will and lashon hara and rechilos and gezela could do to the Tzibur is the same thing that Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayis and Shfichas Damim could do. When my Rebbe used to say this over, always he spoke like this. You know what it takes to destroy a Beis HaMikdash? Hashem's house, Hashem's abode in this world. You know what it takes? If you have many individuals committing adultery, many individuals committing murder, terrible sins, but individuals are committing that, Hashem says, you have done such terrible sins, such terrible crimes, Hashem says, I have to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem sends Malach Gabriel to destroy it. Then there's another sort of more simpler way to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. You know how you destroy the Beis HaMikdash? You take the glue that holds the Beis HaMikdash together and you take it out. You don't need Malach Gabriel to come and set the Beis HaMikdash into flames. You know what you have to do? Just take out a little brick over here, which is a foundation point. Another brick over here. Sinas Chinam is tantamount to taking the glue that holds all the bricks of the Beis HaMikdash together, and therefore it falls by itself. So the first ones, of course, are terrible sins that Hashem is caused to destroy it. The second Beis HaMikdash of Sinas Chinam, what that does, it causes it just to crumble on its own. There's exploding and imploding, if you will. And that's what the Gemara means, that the Avera of Sinas Chinam is on par with the Avera of Gilei Arayis, Shfichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. We have a couple of minutes, let's continue the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Risham Hayu, right by the hay. Risham Hayu, they were wicked, Elishatollah Bitchain Bakarish Baruchu. Where does that statement go on? That they were wicked, but yet they had bitachon. Asan, that comes the Migdash Rishon. That statement is said for the first space of Migdash. Dichsiv, as it says in a pasuk, Roisheha b'sheichad yishpoitu, the heads of the Klal Yisrael, they judged with bribery, through bribery. The Koyaneh and the Koyanim leaders, b'mechir yeru, they would pass in shailas with getting paid. Univiyah b'kesiv yiksemu, again the Nevi'im also were able to be swayed through bribery. But yet, the al Hashem yishanu, yet they relied on Hashem, lemar, halei Hashem b'kirbeinu, Hashem is with us, leisavi aleinu ra'a. And as they sort of relied on the fact, they banked on the fact that they had bitachon in Hashem. So it's a very interesting, almost a dichotomy. They could do avodah zarah, shvichas damim, gilrais, but yet they trusted in Hashem. Lefikach, therefore, hevi aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gimel gzeirais, therefore Hashem brought three decrees on them, keneged the gimel averus shebiyadim, keneged these three averus of avodah zarah, shvichas damim, gilrais. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, rochein beglalchem tzion, and on account of this tzion, sodetechoreish, it will be plowed. Tzion sodetechoreish. The tzion will be plowed like a field. The Yerushalayim eintieh. Yerushalayim will be destroyed. The harabayis lebomes yar. And harabayis will be like a leveled forest. Or the Migdash, yeah, it's after Gemara says. So the Gemara says, the Migdash really have a Beis Neschinam, where is there no Sin Neschinam, even the first Beis Migdash? V'aksiv, begurai el cherav hoyu esami. That you see, they took up swords against one another. Lochein, spoik el yorech, therefore slap your thigh in wailing. V'yom Rabbi Lazar, elu b'nei Adam, sha'eichlem v'sheisim zem zeh, they eat with one another, but v'deikrin zeh zeh b'chor v'shul b'sheinim. Yet, they swipe each other and kill each other with the swords of their tongue. That's the euphemism for Lashon Hara, with the swords of the tongue. The Gemara says, Ahi b'nisi Yisrael avoy. That was only in the leaders, not in the hamaynam and the general population. Tichsev zoach v'hila ben adam ki hi hoysa ba'ami. V'tanya, we learn, zoach v'hila ben adam yochel akol. Everybody is like that. Tam alem berhi, b'chol b'nisi Yisrael. You see, it's only in the leaders of the people. Below the here by Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar, what they say further about the difference between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash.